You're listening to the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on July 14th, 2016. My guest today is a staff developer advocate with Google and does a lot of work with the Google Cloud Platform and Kubernetes. Kelsey Hightower, how are you?
Hey, thank you. I'm doing awesome.
I invited you on this podcast because of a tweet I saw. You collaborated with the Kubernetes team for a bootstrapping challenge. Now, what was the purpose of this challenge?
So that's a what I like to call a user empathy session. So as a developer advocate, we work with the product in many ways. You know, some of us, we run it ourselves. We may hack in the code base. But the other side of that is we talk to customers about how the product should work. We also get their feedback. And that particular tweet was about giving that feedback to the core engineers in a way that's interactive and engaging. So We issued a few challenges, having them bootstrap a Kubernetes cluster from scratch without the ability to use the tools that they're accustomed to, and just observing the outcome so we can make improvements to the product.
That was really cool. I don't see a lot of that, unfortunately. Is there anything that prompted this challenge? Were there complaints about usability, or is this just a typical part of the release process there?
I think every project, open source or product, always have room to improve, right? So they come in the form of user complaints, issues on GitHub. It's a trick I learned, I guess, way back in the Puppet Labs days. If you want to ensure that you capture users' feedback, the most important thing you can do is have your engineers become empathetic with your users. And one way of doing that is to give them the exact same challenges that your user has. So I think anyone that's working on any project or product will always have room to improve. And this is just kind of one strategy of giving your engineers that feedback in a way that they can always remember.
I really like that approach. Could you give maybe a quick intro to what Kubernetes is and what it does?
So Kubernetes is an improvement on an internal system that Google has called Borg. Borg is used to run our applications in containers. So most people are familiar with containers in the sense of an application container made widely popular by Docker.
Sure.
So packaging up your application as containers, the next step is how do you run them? And ideally, how do you run them in a kind of production way where, you know, you have a scheduler that places your containers on the correct machine with enough CPU and memory to run that particular workload? And the other hard thing is service discovery. So once your scheduler makes a choice, how do you go find those containers and group them in a way that you can expose them to your customers? So that and a lot more is what Kubernetes aims at. Managing application containers at scale is how we sum it up.
And after you did this bootstrap challenge, what were your results? What did you find, if anything, from going through this exercise?
I mean, for this particular challenge, we just found a lot of low-hanging fruit that we all already knew about. You know, if you look through various issues or, you know, in the backtracker, you'll definitely see that these are things that have come up probably since the beginning of the project. And what happens from these challenges is that you see that even though they're easy things to do, low-hanging fruit, they don't require genius levels of engineering effort, but they have a big impact on customer adoption, user adoption, and become a roadblock to people trying to use Kubernetes the project. So one thing we learned is that they actually have a lot more impact than most people may have thought before doing the challenge. So it just makes it all a little bit more real, and it helps classify these type of problems into something that people can say, wow, I mean, it's pretty easy to do, but it has a very high impact. And that's kind of the sweet spot for any project development.
Would you say that this exercise had an effect on the engineers?
Oh, for sure. Guaranteed. I mean, you know, after we did the project, after we did the experiment, you know, for some engineers, this may have been their first time doing an empathy session. A lot of the Google engineers do have experience doing sessions like this. We have a lot of great UX teams. But it just serves as a gentle reminder that we're doing a great job. But here's some areas where if we were to focus, we can make this particular experience better for a user. So the impact it has on engineering, it helps us kind of tweak our roadmaps, tweak the work that we'll do for the next release, and also lets an engineer know that, hey, maybe the part that I worked on is really great, or the part that I'm working on, I don't necessarily have to make it as big as of a deal as I thought. Maybe I can kind of relax a little bit and tackle some of this low-hanging fruit. This is very great confirmation of that.
Do you think this is something that a small organization, I know, you know, Google is very, very large. Do you think it's something a small organization can pull off?
So the good thing is, you know, when we talk about Google, of course it's huge when you talk about all of Google. But if you drill down into just the Kubernetes team, you know, this kind of represents, you know, what a smaller organization will look like, right? You know, you have a group of people focused on a particular product. And then we do have a lot of extra roles around that, like developer advocates, you know, testing, SREs. But when you get down to the core engineering of Kubernetes, it's very much a tight focused group. So I think this works for any organization. And an empathy session, I think it needs to be hands-on and really focused, so you shouldn't try to boil the ocean. You should really focus on a specific user pain point and do it in a way where people can go through the experience themselves and also capture the feedback from them. So we did a part of that exercise was to write up a captain's log on every command you had to type to achieve your step. And I think that really lets them resonate because they were able to formulate the experience into their own thoughts and words.
So do you think this is something that every software team should be doing and can benefit from?
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you're not doing empathy sessions, you know, even better would be using the product yourself. And that reduces the need for some of these empathy sessions. So if you're using the product every day, you'll basically be having user empathy every day because you will be that user.
Right. That's the dog fooding that people talk about, right?
That's right.
I definitely agree with that. I came from an organization where we built a communication tool. We were a remote distributed team, so we're relying on this communication tool to collaborate. And because we're using it every day, I believe the pain points in the system got fixed better and faster than if we weren't using the system every day.
Even if you are dogfooding, sometimes you'll tend to know how to work around your own issues, and big problems for users may not be big problems for you because you know how to get around the system. So I think it's also good to, even if it's just quarterly, to checkpoint and say, I'm going to highlight this thing that we've all been working around and let you know that our users don't actually have that option.
Is this similar to or in the same vein as usability testing?
I would say so. I you know, again, at Puppet Labs, I was kind of taught by some of the UX members there about real user testing. You know, I was able to actually partake in, you know, giving user tests at meetups. We're working on a feature on the engineering side. And how do you actually go and test the thing that you're working on in a way where you're not leading or you're trying to drive a user to a logical conclusion, and just how to listen and observe. So I think it's an extension of what user testing is. And also the most important part of user testing is how you bring it back into the organization. It's one thing to write it up in a Google Doc and say, hey, here's what we did. We asked a bunch of users some questions and here's what happened. I think being able to roll that up almost, you know, serialize, like, hey, what are the best things out of this session that we got that we can actually take action on? And then hands-on empathy session just allows you to kind of bring the point home a little harder.
If I wanted to do something like this in my organization, can you recommend any resources I could check out to get started, maybe some books or websites?
Honestly, I guess I wouldn't necessarily do things the book way because, you know, I don't know how to do it the book way. But I think it's really more of a, you know, you care about your users, right? You care about your community. You care about the team. So it's more just coming from that angle. Like, I actually care about people. I observe when those people are having a hard time. And I'm just going to show you exactly what they're doing that's causing them to have a hard time. So there may be a more formal way of doing it. But I think for anyone, you know, a lower barrier of entry is just to capture, and maybe you have to watch people, and what you try to do is replay that experience. So I think come from it from a genuine place of the user, not necessarily your own pet project that you want to see get adopted. Really speak for the user, and it helps to have user names, what they were trying to do. If you can generalize it to a larger part of the population of your users, I think that would be awesome. But just go in with a good spirit of, we want to make this better for our users, and that is the main focus here, and that removes the need for arguments and saying, I don't know if this is real. The goal is not to come up with a bunch of user stories, but real stories from real users.
Before we go, is there anything you would like to promote? Conferences, user groups, things like that?
I'm doing so many things these days. My main focus is on like Kubernetes, and I think people should check it out, you know, from a usability standpoint, where people are going with containers and where they want to go. You know, a lot of people want to focus on building cool things, being innovative, getting their ideas in front of people as quickly as possible. And so far for me, Kubernetes has been a thing that has allowed people to do that.
My guest today has been Kelsey Hightower. Thanks for being on the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns Podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves 2016. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. The hosting for this podcast is made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Skype and Audacity. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy their music on Amazon or iTunes.